This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi and Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging with you guys here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have ourselves football. Football back in our lives, and we have ourselves a football game, and it's tonight, preseason Hall of Fame game, Thursday night, Panthers and the Cardinals. Right now, Carolina laying 1.5, totals at 35.5. Before we get into the game, though, Will, do you, as a bettor, have any tips or advice for those who maybe knew, you know, wanted to dabble in with the preseason? They're excited, they're anxious for football to get here, so they want to make some money and wager on the preseason football game. Any advice, any words of wisdom for those who have not yet dabbled in preseason NFL?
I think I've mentioned this app before, and it has nothing to do with VSiN. We don't promote them. You know, we're not plugging something. The Fantasy Life app, Matthew Berry's app. It gives you right to your phone the alerts pop up of what the coaches say. Now, it's more for fantasy football. This guy's out, this guy's in. But for preseason, it's great because when Andy Reid has a press conference saying Mahomes is going to play a quarter, Mahomes is not going to play at all, you get a message. So you don't have to go seek out the information. You don't have to scroll through Twitter, follow the beat writers. You get the pop-ups right on your phone of who's in, who's out. It is so valuable where if you're paying attention and you just bet based off the notification, you're going to oftentimes beat the line by 2, 3, 6, 7 points. I mean, you get crazy line movements in the preseason. So anyone that says, hey, don't bet it, it's, you know, it's degenerate. You're doing your homework. Now, if you say, you know what, I don't have the time to do it, that's perfectly fair. It's time consuming, but you know, there are shortcuts like that where you know, if you're doing the homework, coaches, it's not week six where people are going to give you the Belichick and say, I'm not going to tell you my strategy, I'm not going to tell you anything. During the preseason, the coaches will actually tell you, my guys are playing, my guys aren't playing. And usually the quarterback, it's not just the quarterback is a proxy for the offense. You're not going to put the quarterback out there behind, you know, four-string offensive line. Usually if the quarterback's going to play, the offensive line, everyone's going to play, and they're going to try to get some rhythm. So study what the coaches say, the beat writers say. Mobile quarterbacks are always a good thing to back, quarterbacks with some experience. So study the depth charts of the quarterbacks, what the coaches say, and enjoy it, man. Preseason can be beatable. It's fun to watch. It's fun to bet, and it is beatable if you put the work in. How about you? How many bets do you think you'll have this preseason?
It depends. It's always on a case-by-case scenario, and honestly, it comes down to whether I catch the news in time or not. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of my preseason betting, because preseason betting, it's similar to betting the college football bowl season. It's all information-based. Yes. You know, it's like you can throw out the power ratings or your preconceived notions of the teams or whatever, because this is not, hey, we're going out there to win the football game. No, they're going out there to evaluate.
Right.
Like, that's what they're doing. And in some instances, they're going out there to just, because we have to. You know, if the Rams could turn down the preseason, they would turn it down and just say, you know what, we're going to evaluate at practice.
We'll simulate
the preseason. Yes. We don't want to do any of this stuff. But, you know, because, you know, tickets and the owners want the revenue from ticket sales and concessions and all that stuff. And the TV networks also are bought in on it. So we get preseason games, which I'm not complaining because it's something to watch. It's something to bet on. But, like, we're just keeping a buck. Like, that's probably how some teams feel about it within the league circles. But I would say, like, just to kind of piggyback your point about the people that say, like, oh, well, it's degenerate to bet on the preseason, like, or call the number if you're betting NFL preseason. It's actually way easier to win in the preseason than it is the regular season. By orders of magnitude.
Yes. Just go by the limits. The limits at the books will tell you everything. If you want to go off week four, bet, you know, Packers, Cowboys, bet 10 grand, they'll say, we'll be happy to take your bet, sir.
Bet 10 million.
Yes, we'll be happy to take your bet. They're confident in their number. In the preseason, they're not confident in their number. If you walk up and say, hey, I want 10 grand on the Hall of Fame, they say, absolutely. Wait 1 second. I got to make a phone call real quick. And maybe you get 1,000, maybe you get 500. I mean, it's book to book. But the books, that's the thing. The books are kind of on equal footing where they don't know and it's a race to information.
They'll be like, hey, can I see your ID real quick?
Yes.
I need a supervisor.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, now you've been flagged.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that's how it goes. Like, they don't want to book this stuff, which means as bettors, we should want to bet it. Because, like, that's where the value lies. The value lies with the uncertainty. The value does not lie Sunday night football, Cowboys, Packers. The value lies with the uncertainty. So to those of you out there, if you have the time, you got some spare time to hang out with there, whether you're single or whatever, even if you're married, if you got some spare time, and you love football, I'm sure if you're watching or listening to this show, you love football. Like, you know, just take the time to go out there and read the press conference clippings or listen to stuff or the app that you talk about, Fantasy Life, that Matthew Berry has, because you will find better opportunities and you'll find the market moving with you as opposed to just showing up 5-10 minutes before game day and saying, oh, like, how do I want to bet this preseason game? No, it's like you can have your opinion, but also know what you're getting into so you're not shocked and be like, oh, I thought this guy was going to play. Why is he not playing? Why is what's going on here? Or not understanding why the market's moving, how it's moving. So I say all that to say, for me, we know the quarterbacks that will be out there on the field tomorrow. Carolina will be having Kenny Pickett out there. How long? Series or two, I'm guessing. That's just kind of going off of educated guesses, given that Kenny Pickett is their QB2. They're not going to want to throw him out there and get him hurt, because if QB2 is out there, then they have to have like some offensive linemen out there. Not like the starters, but they have like some depth guys out there. Like, you don't want to put these guys at risk. But Kenny Pickett will be there for Carolina. Carson Beck, the rookie out of Miami, he will be starting for the Arizona Cardinals. I think we're going to see him for at least a half, you know, given that it's only him and Keaton Slovis. The veterans, Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew, those are QB1, QB2. So unless Beck gets the entire game, which is a possibility, I do think they would probably want to get a look at Keaton Slovis here. So I think that's going to be your quarterback situation.
Do you really want to get a look at Keaton Slovis? I mean, how much?
I mean, he's on the team.
Maybe look with one eye. Maybe you don't look with both eyes.
If you don't want to get a look at him, just cut him now. You know what I mean? Why are you taking him to Canton? Save some money. but we know what the quarterback situation will look like. I am not as inclined to bet the side with this game. I am more so inclined to bet the under. It's at 35.5. I just think it's going to be lower scoring because we talk about the backups being in the preseason. This is the backups, backups, backups that are in the Hall of Fame game. Like, these are the fours, the fives, the sixes, if they have them. Those are the kinds of guys, and some rookie spring. I mean, is Jeremiah Love playing? I don't think so. He's a first-round pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You know, like, and he's a rookie. So, like, that just goes to show you what you can expect with the environment tomorrow at Canton. So, the under for me, just given that I think these coaches, their goal is going to be more so, let's get out of this healthy, as opposed to, let's light up the scoreboard.
And we could pull up scores from past Hall of Fame games. There was a good, I would say, 7 or 8 years where this was under. It was almost like Army-Navy, where you couldn't make it low enough. And like anything, all good trends, you know, die and books adjust. And the last 4 or 5 years, we've actually seen some overs. We had a high-scoring game a couple years ago. I think it was the 49ers-Cardinals where the game got called at half due to, like, lightning. I think that was 2 years ago. But last year, 34-7 with the Chargers and the Lions. So we've seen some overs. So, you know, you zig, and then you zag, and then you're maybe back to a zig here. Maybe you're back towards playing unders. But I remember from past preseasons, the scoring had upticked where not all books will let you do this, and that's usually a sign that they're good bets. Three-team teasers on the totals to the over. Ooh. When you get to like week 2 or week 3 and you got these games that are 32, 33, 31, these low totals, and you should never teach total except in the preseason when you get they're that low. It's hard to stay under the 21, and a lot of those got home. I mean, that was basically a cash cow to the point where I'm not sure how much they're booking them, but that's another angle I know people did very well on these past preseasons. You got some higher scoring preseasons in the past few years than the past when it's typically very close, ugly, low scoring games.
The fact that like they don't really want to let you bet that stuff shows you that it's probably a good bet to make. Also, though, we do want to also caution people out there. Sometimes you make too many of those bets, you get flagged.
Yes.
So just be careful. It's a give and take. It's like you find something that's a really good edge. Like, you don't want to beat it into oblivion because then all of a sudden now you have been flagged. And it's like, oh, why can't I really bet all this other stuff? Huh, what happened there?
$4 on the Cubs to win the World Series. I want a little more than $4.
I wonder what happened with that one. For some reason, I can't bet it. That's weird. I guess I got to go to a new sports book. That's how it goes. It's an unfair game, but it's a cat and mouse game that we're trying to win as well. Do you have any coaches that you look? Because I know for years it was John Harbaugh.
Harbaugh was
always the guy.
Bill Parcells back in the day. Now they're all kind of from the McVay tree. They're all younger.
None of them care anymore.
Yeah, they are all just, you know, no one wants to be the guy that played their guys too long and they get criticized. Yeah. So I would say some of the older school coaches, like Peyton comes from the Parcells tree. Andy Reid's more old school. Tomlin was a little bit like that. But for the most part, people have adopted, you know what, if he's not going to do it, it's almost like, you know, being in high school. Well, that's not cool anymore. I can't do it anymore.
Exactly.
And everyone's just afraid to buck the system and says, you know what, I don't want to be the guy that gets my quarterback hurt because he played a half. So, no, to answer your question, no. I mean, look, some guys just care absolutely, like, not at all like McVay. But I feel like there's more and more, there's less of an advantage looking at the coaches. I feel like, I mean, Harbaugh, Campbell, these guys are competitive. So you always look towards the guys that are super competitive just by nature because they don't want to lose. But if it doesn't reflect in who you're playing, things like that, it's, you know, it's tough to say you have an edge.
You know, it's like Mike McCarthy is one of those like old school kind of coaches, but he doesn't conduct the preseason that way.
Yeah.
But so like, because I remember Mike McCarthy when he was the coach of the Cowboys, like Dak Prescott would rarely, if ever, play in the preseason. However, Mike McCarthy this year, first time head coach or first year head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he did say that, you know what, I want Aaron Rodgers to get 30 to 40 plays across the preseason.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting you'll probably see Rodgers for a series or two week one, then maybe like a quarter for week two of the preseason. So like sometimes coaches can change their philosophy just based on where they're at with their teams, or maybe they're trying to implement a new scheme or whatever. And Rodgers should know the McCarthy scheme, but I'm sure McCarthy has maybe tweaked some things since the two of them were together. So like you can see a little bit of that factoring into the decision making as well.
First year head coaches too, for a year that was an angle to play. Rookie head coaches, because even though it's preseason, nobody wants, and it used to be four games, nobody wants to, oh, we're 0-4, what's the new guy in town? It's, hey, we took, the coach takes over and they want to instill a winning culture. That's the reason he's taking over, because it was a losing team, a losing culture. And hey, you know, we're going to start by winning preseason games. Winning matters here. We're going to do everything differently. So again, I think that's a little bit changed, a little bit out the window. But when in doubt, you know, new head coaches and 0-1 teams versus 1-0 teams, that's been a trend in the past where, all right, we're 0-1. We kind of want to get one in the bank here.
Oh, for sure. Now, the preseason is here, but the wait is also over for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. It is out now, featuring over 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50 power ratings, proven betting systems. You'll get the NFL guide, the Fantasy Life Football guide as well, starting today for just $9.99 at VSiN.com.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, the Pittsburgh Pirates are down to their final two outs. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Abebefe here with you guys on a Wednesday night. I thought Pirates might have had a chance to get back into this one. I'm glad I didn't bet it. I'm hoping all of you out there watching and listening did not bet it as well, as Brian Reynolds is going to have a loud out to right. And it is now two away for Milwaukee, which is just, it's been a quiet night for the Pirates' bats. I guess that's not like super duper surprising, but Milwaukee putting together another really strong performance as they look for their 71st victory of this 2026 campaign.
Yeah, and just a lot of base runners left on in key spots late in this game, so over doesn't look like it's going to get here. But kind of going through one of these stretches here in Major League Baseball. But the late game's underway. Not a lot of scoring. I feel like the Nerfies did pretty well tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We have a top of the third situation here, Arizona and San Diego. That game is still scoreless. And then bottom of the third in a game that's just flying by, Detroit and Seattle also scoreless. So not a lot of offense going on in that game. And I believe Phillies and Nationals, that game is tied now, I think. Is that
a game that'll never end?
That's been one that's been going on a very long time. I think that started right when we were starting.
7:05
hours ago. Yeah.
Yeah. 7:05 was first pitch, and right now, we're top of the 11th. So we always get some extra inning action here on VSiN Primetime every now and then. Nats and the Phillies knotted at 4. As I have my eyes on what's going on in Seattle. Is that 2 on for the Mariners with no outs? Here we go. Come on. Let's go, Mariners. Bottom of the third there at the beautiful T-Mobile ballpark. So the baseball is happening, as folks say, top of the 11th. Once again in Philadelphia, C.J. Abrams, I believe, headed to the plate here. So a dangerous situation if you're a Phillies fan or bettor. In the National Football League, though, Will, what if I told you that you could sign a 33-year-old wide receiver coming up a 1,000-yard season and bring him in on August 5th? Is that something you might be interested in? Stephon Diggs is now a member of the Washington Commanders as he signs a one-year deal worth up to, because it is now worth up to season, as I used to joke with Michael Lombardi about the month of August. Every deal is worth up to $12 million. Yes. So how much is it actually really worth? Like, what, three? Stephon Diggs signs a one-year deal. Played all 17 games, all jokes aside, last year for the New England Patriots that fell short of a Super Bowl victory against the Seattle Seahawks. It is his age 33 season. The Commanders, I'll tell you what, man, their commitment to the bid is incredible as they try to build the oldest roster imaginable around their young quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who had so much promise early on in his career. And he can get back on track, obviously having a step back last year. But I'm not sure I see the vision with Washington. And it's a team that I wanted to like, too. But I don't know, man. Nobody's signing up this skill position group to run the 4x1.
Man, and time goes quick because now Diggs, a grizzled veteran, I can remember when he busted into the league as a Terp, nice like early round pick from the Vikings. He had that Minneapolis miracle early in his career. I think that was like his third year in his career. And you look up and he's like a 12-year vet. Just it goes by quick here as the Pirates do go down to Milwaukee. Milwaukee wins it 4-2. But I get it. I understand a veteran, a guy that you feel like could be a safety blanket maybe for a young quarterback. But Daniels has to stay healthy, and Daniels has to play well, too. I think that's the one thing where people are like, you know, he was great, and he's as long as he's healthy. He didn't play well. Not only was he hurt last year, he actually didn't play well. Mariota's numbers were better in a lot of categories. Now, maybe that's related to the injury. Maybe he's banged up. He didn't have the continuity. But I don't know. Where do you stand on Daniels? Is he going down the C.J. Stroud route of, man, we just jumped to conclusions too quickly, which we really didn't. He was in the conference championship game as a rookie, and he was awesome. Is he going to be a top three, top five quarterback in the league, or does he regress towards, you know, he's hurt a lot, maybe he's more like 10 through 12, that kind of player?
I think in the proper surroundings, this might be cheating a little bit, in the proper surroundings, I think he can be a top five quarterback in the league. Surroundings is everything for these quarterbacks. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you put Patrick Mahomes on the Chicago Bears out of college. Is it Patrick Mahomes? Probably not. Maybe he ends up like Matthew Stafford in the Detroit Lions, you know, like maybe that's ends up looking like what his career ends up playing out like. So I think that because like I am higher on Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams. I really do. And I think that might be a contrarian opinion now, just coming off the year that Caleb Williams have, which, by the way, he didn't even complete 60% of his passes. Like, let's pump the brakes there on that. Like you know, like everyone's like, oh, Caleb, Mr. Clutch or Ice, whatever the hell, like Iceman, I guess is his nickname in Chicago. I think Daniel still has, I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy. He was phenomenal his first year. He went to the NFC title game. So I still have a lot of Jaden Daniels stock. I just don't have stock in whatever they're building in Washington. Like, that's my, it's like, okay, like you trade for Deebo Samuel last year. Like dude, Deebo's done. Like, I'm sorry. And I know he's now in San Francisco. Good luck, Niners. Like, he probably runs a 5-second 40-yard dash now. That's over. Now you're bringing in Stephon Diggs, who was productive last year. I get it. But, I mean, he's 33 now. McLaurin's a really good player. So, like, at least that's something that you at least can hang your hat on. But outside of McLaurin, I don't see much from a skill position group here. I see an offensive line that's okay on its best day. Defensively, there's nothing really to write home about. Let's see what Sonny Styles looks like at linebacker for them. Maybe that can kind of reinvigorate some speed into that defense. But I in a division where I think Philly's ahead of them, Dallas is ahead of them, I think Washington's kind of squarely in third place.
Do you have any bets on them, over, under, anything?
Nah, I don't have anything. There's just nothing that really makes me excited about this Commanders team. Now, in their division, I think that's where I think I get to be really excited as it pertains to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Philadelphia is the underrated team this year in the NFL. Like, I really do. It's a lot of addition by subtraction. One being A.J. Brown is no longer there. A.J. Brown's tremendous. He's a phenomenal wide receiver. Clearly, the relationship between he and Jalen Hurts was beyond repair. So they need to split that up. Most importantly, though, Kevin Petullo's not there. Like, that's the biggest thing for me, man. Like, Kevin Petullo was horrendous as an offensive coordinator last year. He's not there. You bring in Sean Mannion. They're doing a lot more stuff from under center. Sounds like they're going to encourage Hurts to run some more. Hurts, I don't know if you've seen the training camp clips. He looks like he's a little bit leaner. Looks like he's a little bit better shape. Maybe he's preparing to run and use his legs a lot more, use his athleticism. I think this Eagles offense can take another positive step forward, or at least a step forward from what we saw last year. And then defensively, there's no questions there. I mean, defensive line, awesome. Linebackers, awesome. Secondary, even better. Vic Fangio, amazing. Like, defensively, they're locked in as like a top three defense. But on offense, if they can just be like the 12th best offense in the league, which with that offensive line and a Super Bowl MVP quarterback, Devontae Smith is your wide receiver one, you draft Mekhi Lemon, why can't they be the 12th best offense in the league? And if they do that, I think they're going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
I love those rookies they got. I think Mekhi Lemon is going to come in right away and produce, and Stowers, the tight end from Vandy.
Yeah.
I think those are two guys. And the Eagles are just part of it is they're just you draft somebody, you think of them differently, and you just give them the benefit of the doubt because they're so good at drafting. And you know,
what Howie Roseman
does is so impressive. But I think they did well with those draft picks. I think those guys will produce.
They are awesome in the trenches.
Yeah.
And I still believe football is won and lost in the trenches. So, like, as much as, hey, like, oh, the Rams are great. Like, yeah, the Rams have a really good defensive line, but the offensive line is a little bit shaky. If we get an Eagles-Rams matchup in the playoffs, and we didn't get it last year because the Eagles, of course, sputtered out losing at home to the Niners, but we saw it a couple years ago. That defensive line for the Eagles won them the game. That running game for the Eagles won them the game in that snowy blizzard that they were playing in the divisional round. That's the worst matchup for the Rams, in my opinion, is Philadelphia. And that's why I love the Eagles, because if the Rams are going to be there, and if, barring health, they should be there in the end, I want the team that I think that can beat L.A., and I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, makes sense. That was a fun game, too, a couple years ago in the snow, and that was
it was something.
That was fun. That was but I feel like Philly pulled away, went up 13 or 14, then they missed the kick, and it was like, oh, it was over. Then before you know it, quick touchdown, a stop, and – and the Rams are driving to either tie it or win. I think winning.
Is our guy TG out there? Thomas Gable?
I saw him. I met him earlier.
Is our guy TG?
There he is.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Thomas Gable. Yeah. met him a couple of years ago. Met TG. Yeah. But you were talking about that game. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think we're just missing the boat here on Philadelphia. And I think a lot of people just, the Jalen Hurts stuff, and I texted you and Corey this year, like Fox Sports did their rankings of the quarterback or player under the most pressure in 2026, Jalen Hurts is number one. This guy won the Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago. What are we talking about, pressure?
I think there is a feeling that he's more of a passenger than a bus driver.
I mean, hell, I'll take that passenger. I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan. Dak Prescott's never been a passenger like that before.
Yeah. I mean, the counter would be, though, Dak never has that kind of defense, offensive line.
Dak is throwing for CeeDee Lamb, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's not act like the covers have been bare in Dallas. Like, they've had talent.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, all I know about Jalen Hurts, is it the prettiest? No. Is he the best in the regular season? No. But when it comes down to nut cutting time, and it comes down to the biggest games of your life, he plays the best.
And makes the throws when he needs to. I agree.
Like, in a big game, who would you rather have, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen? I'll take Jalen Hurts, man.
Oh, I'd still take Allen. I'd still take Allen.
As he throws the ball behind him?
Come
on. It's everyone's talking about pressure on Hurts. What about Josh Allen, Lamar, Joe Burrow? Where are their Super Bowl MVPs?
Yeah.
Crickets. But we got to get him some help. How about he stops throwing the ball behind him? Let's do that first. We'll talk some more NFL, because now I'm getting fired up, because football season's almost here, and damn it, I got takes, and we're going to unleash them next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circus continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st exclusively at the Circus Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of a campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. Oh, the football juices are already going. I am ready to. I have not worked myself into a lather here, Will. But I mean, if we went for another hour or so, I might. I'm ready to roll, man. I got opinions. The bets are gonna follow. Like, football season, Hall of Fame game tomorrow. I'm here. Enough of the noise. Enough of the conversation. Enough of the rankings. Let's play the damn games and let's see who's actually for real. And let's see who's a pretender, because I feel like I have a pretty good idea as who's the former and also who is the latter.
Yeah, and I go through this too, where I'm so excited for the preseason to be back. It's on TV. It's, you know, we can watch it. We can bet it. They're in their uniforms, and then by like the second, third week of preseason. All right, enough of this. Let's get to the regular season.
Yeah, exactly. You get a little bit of a nibble. Like the Hall of Fame game gives you a nibble, and then like you go away for the next week, because then the next wave of preseason starts on Thursday. Then you get maybe like a couple games Thursday night.
Yeah.
A few more Friday, then a lot on Saturday, maybe one on Sunday. And then it's like, okay, I'm ready for the real thing.
That's a fun day. That first Thursday, so it would be, I think, a week from tomorrow.
Yep.
That first day where you, that first night where you get multiple games.
It's usually like a Patriots game.
It's usually like a Patriots, yeah, like a Patriots Eagles or something.
See. Oh, we actually have a decent amount of games on that Thursday. This is more than usual. We have six games.
That's a fun night. That's an underrated night. I like having it back and just having all the games to watch and monitor.
So we have Lions, Bengals, we have Packers, Steelers, which I believe Aaron Rodgers will be playing in that game. So. At least something to monitor there. Colts, Patriots. You have the Cardinals and the Raiders, so we can see some Fernando Mendoza. That one's on ESPN, so obviously the Mendoza factor. Jeremiah Love, maybe we'll see him for a series or so. Chargers, Texans, and then Titans and the 49ers. So that's Thursday, August 13th. Only three games on Friday, and then it looks like we have seven games on Saturday. No on Sunday for at least the first week of the preseason. But a nice little balance there. Good chunk of games Thursday, good chunk on Saturday, as my Dallas Cowboys taking on the Seattle Seahawks in a game where I'm sure the Cowboys will be playing Joe Milton. But they got Sam Howell as well, so decent quarterback depth chart for Dallas. But, I'm just ready for the football season to get here, and the takes are going to start flying for me. I am high on the Philadelphia Eagles. That is a team that I will be betting to win the NFC. I'll be betting them to win the Super Bowl. I think I will get there on Hurts MVP as well. Because like, he's floating around that 30-1 price. This is a team that could win a lot of games.
Yeah.
He's a quarterback who, by the way, finished second in the MVP vote like in 2022. Like, why can't he win it?
Week one, they're, I think, a divisional road favorite, which usually, historically, divisional home dogs do pretty well. Not a huge trend guy, but that's one that's pretty strong.
I do like Washington a little bit.
Yeah, what do we get? Four and a half. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, like I can see the Eagles winning that by a field goal. You know, it's a division game early on, new offense with Sean Mannion. Maybe it takes a little bit of time for everyone to get on the same page. Daniels is really good. There'll be a lot of excitement at home now that he's back and healthy. So I can see the Commanders at least keeping that close. Maybe they pull off a victory. Crazier things have happened. I mean, we saw the Raiders beat the Patriots last year in week one. You always get a weird result here and there. But, to me, that seems like Commanders are pass. And honestly, it might be Commanders just with the points. I don't think to bet on the money line, but I might bet them with the points week one. The Cleveland Browns quarterback competition. I guess we can call it that. We can call it competition. Their quarterback competition between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders. I saw DraftKings tweet out the Watson stats earlier this afternoon, and Watson apparently threw for 9 touchdowns in practice today. I'm not sure if that's verified or not, but
now it's a good trade, I think, right?
Yeah, pretty much nailed it. The trade, the picks, the guaranteed money, all for 9 touchdown passes on August 5th at training camp practice. But Watson versus Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders coming in as the second year guy, and Sanders. In the preseason, we'll see a lot of him. He's always an interesting figure, given his dad, Deion Sanders, and the Colorado phenomenon that was with Travis Hunter, etc. NFL career has obviously gotten off to a slow start. Didn't look good as a rookie. But according to head coach Todd Monken, Shedeur Sanders has been improving by his evaluation.
You just keep practicing. You just keep playing. I mean, that's really what you do. I mean, he's still a young player. And, we'd like it to happen now. We all would. But I've been highly impressed over the last, 4 months that I've been around him, how far he's come as a player. And he's only going to continue to get better. It's just, again, there's a lot to take in when you're installing. You know, we got through the spring, and then we're gone for 6 weeks. And then you start back up again in a new system. And so I think you'll continue to see his operation mechanics improve. And I think that's the biggest part right now is in and out of the huddle, getting the line of scrimmage, eliminating that anxiety. His anxiety and my anxiety.
I mean, everyone's got anxiety apparently out there in Cleveland as Shedeur Sanders once again competing with Deshaun Watson as to who will be the starting quarterback over at Kalshi right now. About $163,000 in volume, so not a ton of volume, so it's not that efficient of a market. Deshaun Watson is at around 66%, and you have Shedeur Sanders at 44%. Clearly, that adds up to more than 100, but you understand what we're working with here with a lot of these prediction markets. But Watson's a favorite. Makes a lot of sense. He is the veteran, but he's coming off the Achilles injury. Who knows what he will look like? But, well, I can't shake the feeling if Cleveland could ever figure out quarterback. I actually think that this could be a pretty decent team. But it's a massive, massive issue and a massive question mark, given that we have Watson and Shador.
Somebody was asking me the other day, AFC North, who do you like? And I said, man, I don't like anyone. Ravens odds on, no thank you. I'm not buying the Cincy hype. Maybe it'll come to fruition. Burrow's hurt a lot. I got to see the defense be good. Not a fan of Taylor as a coach. And I think, you know, Rodgers and
McCarthy.
I'm not sure about that either.
The Redux.
At 5-1. 21-1 on the Browns. They were in the 3 years ago now. They were in the playoffs. Could they have enough defensively and they get something out of Watson where they get to 9 or 10 wins? Lamar gets banged up. Are you buying it? Is it a bet? It doesn't look like, by your facial expressions, it is a bet.
I can't get to the window with it, but could I interest you in Todd Monken, coach of the year?
We got to make the play. What's their number to make the playoffs?
So
you can't win it if you don't make the playoffs.
You can't win it unless you make the playoffs. So let's go ahead and pull up the futures market over at DraftKings.
They've got to be at least 6-1, 8-1 to make the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, you'd have to think they're very much in that range. So Cleveland to make the playoffs, plus 570.
What's Monken for coach of the year?
He's 27-1 over at FanDuel.
Oh, Monken's the better bet.
Let me see what it is at DraftKings. So DraftKings has Todd Monken at, my goodness, where is he? Let's see. Is he not? Oh, he's 14-1 at DraftKings. Last I looked at FanDuel, he was 27. Yeah, FanDuel still has 27. So you know what?
Around that's, I mean, that's
to me, like, because one, they don't have to win the division for him to win the award,
right?
If let's say the Browns are 10-7, they, because this team, their skill position guys still pretty good. You know, they're like, Judkins is an awesome running back.
Yeah.
They're raving about Denzel Boston, the rookie wide receiver out of Washington. The offensive line is okay. Defensively, I know they traded Myles Garrett, the best defensive player in the league, but they did get back Jared Verse. They have Carson Schlesinger. They have a pretty good secondary. Like, you don't have to squint that hard when you look at 2 through 53 on that roster. Like, but the issue is the one, the quarterback. Yeah. That's the big issue. But if they could ever make it work, whether it's with Watson or Shador Sanders, you know all of the credit is going to Todd Monken. I feel like if Cleveland makes the playoffs, I don't even know what anyone else would have to do to beat Monken to win coach of the year.
That's trying to think. 17-0? Yeah, I mean, it would be tough. He would, yeah, you could basically mail him the trophy. Like, plus 7.5 week one against the Jags?
I mean, it feels right to me.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way, though. I wouldn't be teasing Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
It's always, I don't like laying points. I don't like laying points anytime, especially week one. It's just week one is so tough. But
especially too, like, even like, because like, some people get carried away with the teasers. Like, oh, like, let me tease Jacksonville down here. Let me tease, like, when you don't know for sure,
the numbers aren't as strong.
The numbers are not as strong, so it's not as great to be teasing and like laying that kind of juice that's needed to tease.
Yeah,
especially, I mean, some places. I mean, back in the day, you could get -110, -120. Now you're having to lay -140, -150.
Oh, you can't beat it like that.
Yeah, just. Early on, don't do it. Maybe wait for like week 13 if you want to go ahead and do some teasers. But early on, when we're all trying to figure out and all make adjustments on the fly, I would not be teasing because the numbers are not as efficient as they are later in the regular season. But man, yeah, there's just this Cleveland team. I keep, because I've been looking at coach of the year and I'm like, who do I like in that market? The top of the market, I don't like Harbaugh. I don't like Minter because if they're good, Lamar's going to get all the credit. I don't really like Stefanski because I'm not in on Atlanta. I'm not in on New Orleans. Joe Brady, get out of my face. Ben Johnson, last year was your chance. Shoddy, I don't really feel it because Dak would get the credit. Saleh, LOL. Kubiak, no. Jim Harbaugh, sorry.
No.
Like, you can go down the list. I'm like, who is there?
Saleh, if the Titans, people,
I
mean, like Saleh.
I just don't believe it.
Okay, I don't blame you.
I don't think he's a serious character.
I don't blame you.
I got these CVS receipts. Okay, now you're in Tennessee. All right, we'll be back to wrap up VSiN Primetime on the other side.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Final segment of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill. It's been good having you in studio, man. It's been fun. It's been fun. Show's been flying by. You know, usually you're out there in Connecticut doing the show remote, but we're in studio, you know, going to go to a little get-together afterwards. Vegas, at least, has been treating you well.
It has. It has. Yeah. And it's been good to see people too, because you just so many people, you just it's just a Twitter avatar, or you know through Twitter, you listen on the shows, but to just see people in person, it's been cool.
Yeah, it's a good meet. It's a chance to network. I know a lot of people are out here for Bet Bash, for those who don't know. Spanky does a really good job of putting that together every single year. It's like a bettors convention. They host it here at Circa. How many years running? Was it like six years?
I think this is the sixth Bet
Six
Bash.
Years? Yeah. 6 years doing this. Yeah, it's turned into a big thing. There's panels. I know you were doing the Bear Bets podcast panel, the college football betting panel, with Chris the Bear Felica, who we had earlier on with the shows, our buddy Sam Paniadovich, Jeff Schwartz as well. You guys did that panel. So there's a bunch of different panels, whether you're an advanced bettor or just want to get into betting but don't really know how.
Yeah.
Something for everyone at Bet Bash.
And you'll appreciate this. So we're doing a Bear Bets podcast, college football. We were taking guests' questions. Somebody asked a question directed at me, thoughts about the Edmonton Oilers.
That's right. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. I said, you know what? They'll probably be as good as people think. That was my answer.
What was the question? Was it like,
what do you think of the Oilers?
I think my
answer was something along the lines of they'll probably be as good as they usually are, something like that.
You want to get into like, well, if they could ever find a goalie, they need a good net minder.
Penalty kill or whatever.
We got to kill off some of those power plays. You get a good goalie. They convince McDavid to stay. You know, you could work your way into a hockey answer. You know, you could do it. You know a couple guys.
When somebody else asked what the line should be, arm wrestling me versus Jeff Schwartz. I said, you know, something we're not going to find out. That's a hypothetical. It's going to stay hypothetical.
Is that on Kalshi or Poly Market?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can we figure that one out?
All bets are going to void because that ain't happening. I'm not.
maybe after a couple of drinks, maybe we'll convince you.
I don't think so.
What's in that coffee?
No. He had to block Julius Peppers, you know.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a different. Little different background. Little different background. Jeff Schwartz and our guy Will Hill. But no, it's been a fun weekend and fun week, I should say, out here for everybody out here for Bet Bash, still rolling along. I'm a local, so I'm here all the time. But good to see everybody when they come out here to Vegas as the sports betting hub. I know we can do it nationally now, which is really cool since PASPA in 2018. But Vegas, there still is something like coming to Vegas to bet on sports and to sweat sports out.
Sure.
No better place than here at the Circa Resort and Casino. I'm not just saying that here because we're here in studio. Like, this is legitimately the best sports book going away in the country. So
packed for the Hall of Fame game, you think? Not packed, but
it'll be a good crowd.
People love that itch, man. People just want to bet football. Yeah. Oh, who cares? The Cardinals, Panthers. Now, if this was week two or week three of the preseason, nobody would care. But
no.
it's the first one. It's a little bit of a ceremony. It's fun.
It'll be a good crowd for this one. The Raider game, which is like apparently a Monday night football game, is on ESPN in next week. That'll be a pretty good crowd since it's the hometown team. I went to my first year when I came to Vegas, because I had to move down here before my she was then my girlfriend, now my wife, like before she moved down like a few weeks after I did, so we're still waiting on our furniture and all that stuff. So like I was in the apartment there, I had like a little stool, like I had like no food, and it was just terrible living like a pure bachelor life, sleeping on an air mattress. So I was like, well, let me go down to the Bellagio Sportsbook, whatever, just to kill some time and watch some preseason football. Like, it was a Cowboys Cardinals game, and like, good crowd. You still get good crowds, man. People want to sweat football. They want to watch football. Sure. So it'll be a good crowd here tomorrow night for the Hall of Fame game. And also, too, with all the people in town for Bet Bash. Like, of course, they're going to find people are going to be teasing stuff or wheeling stuff with all sorts of different things. You know, parlay the total with a baseball total. You know, like, there'll be stuff going on.
We're not going to do player props, I wouldn't think.
I'd be surprised.
Not props like, will there be a score in the first 7-8 minutes? Will books post that stuff?
Maybe some of them. Maybe
you get first quarter lines. Obviously, first half lines, first quarter lines, and I guess if you have enough books, somebody will post something. But
yeah, you just don't really see a lot of that out here in Nevada, in particular, to where I don't know if there's going to be as big of a push for the books to have that stuff up, just because like, oh, well, if they're not doing it, why the hell are we doing it?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing, as opposed to other spots like nationally where it's like, well, they have that, so we need to have that kind of a thing. So so DraftKings has first drive for tomorrow. So I believe one of the options is it punt, field goal, touchdown, or turnover?
Or it could just be a two-way score or no score, that kind of thing.
Okay, so yeah. Our producer Corey's going to text us some of the stuff.
Man, we might have to drive, get down a little first drive.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I was doing a live bet tonight with Wes Reynolds a few years ago. Some of that micro betting, you can get into it, man. It's like what will be the result of this drive, or what will it's just like, oh my goodness.
You get an offense that's overmatched, or quarterback overmatched. You just keep betting the punt. And you're just sitting there rooting for third and eight incomplete passes, but don't go for it because then the punt doesn't work.
Play conservative football. Yeah. Let's do it. I mean, World Series, you can bet on the pitch speed and stuff like that. Over under 89.5 miles per hour or 93. I'm just like, dude, we're getting into the nitty gritty. Maybe not in the best of ways possible.
Right, so what do we got here?
So Corey just texted us the markets. So we got a lot here. So first drive. So they have player specific ones. So Carson Beck to throw a TD pass on his first offensive drive, plus 750. Carson Beck to rush for a TD on his first offensive drive, 40-1. Then you have some Panthers player specials. Kenny Pickett to throw for a TD drive, first drive is a 6-1. And then Pickett rushing touchdown, 40-1. I don't know how they're pricing any of this stuff, which maybe makes for some fun small bets if you're out there sweating it. But we don't have DraftKings in this jurisdiction that is called Nevada. So I will not be betting any of that, but I will be excited, and I will be betting the under in the game for sure. Are you going to figure out what you're going to do? You'll have something on the game, right?
Oh, I think you talked me into the under. I think
let's do the under.
A little under. Just sit there and root for that clock, baby.
Just root for them to run the football. I mean, hopefully there's not a lot of incompletions. We don't need that clock stop. Let's run the football, punt the ball, just go from 20-20. Don't really do a whole lot, and there we go. Looks like there's something going on here in the Bronx. Your Yankees. The go-ahead run now at the plate in the bottom of the seventh. Cardinals have a 3-1 lead. Runners on first and second, two outs. Ben Rice just drew a walk here. Looks like New York could potentially have something going.
Yeah, and Rice has been cold. I think Rice came into this game 2 for his last 29. That's a guy I got.
Yikes.
150-1 to win the MVP. He got down as low as 3-1
after
the Judge injury, but he has not swung the bat well. That looks like it's going to be Yordan Alvarez, barring something almost catastrophic at this point. But 2 on, 2 out. Yankees down a couple runs with a couple men on. And Luis Garcia Jr., the new Yankee, up at the plate. I like the addition. Now, it all comes down to Judge, and if you get Judge back. But, man, this is a guy that can hit. He puts the ball in play. He puts the ball in play with some hard contact. So we'll see what he does here.
Ooh.
As a pretty hard hit ground ball, but it's going to end the inning here as we go to the top of the eighth with the Redbirds leading 3-1.
Yeah, they had such all the buildup. It's like the go-ahead run at the plate. And he hit a home run the other night, right?
He just stood there and watched that thing, too. He knew right off the bat. He didn't even take a step out of the batter's box. That thing went way out, so he knew it was gone. But, he's got a little Robbie Cano in him with just kind of the stance, the lefty, the power to all fields, the way he puts the ball in play with good contact. He reminds me a little bit. Not quite as good as Cano. Cano was a tremendous, tremendous hitter. But
Garcia's a good hitter.
Yeah, well.
Robbie Cano.
Don't you know?
Mariners legend. The only reason why I still to this day remember when Robbie Cano signed with the Mariners because it was the same day Chris Peterson got hired at Washington and the same day of the World Cup draw in 2013. Yeah, it's December 2013. Yeah, December 2013 is when it was because it was for the upcoming 2014 World Cup. So it was Cano to the Mariners, Peterson to Washington, World Cup draw, and it was just so much just sports. I'm like, oh my God, sports! And this is all before 9 a.m. West Coast time. The Cano part did not work out as well, but at least he was able to net the Mariners' Jared Kelnick. Oh, that also didn't work out well either.
Yeah. Did not.
Those prospects,
man.
it's always something. Any final thoughts? Let's not end on a negative. Any final thoughts?
Football. We are going to be watching football. I mean, tonight, tomorrow, depending on when you listen to this, I can't wait. Even though, it's I don't have a Keaton Slovis jersey to wear, but if I did, I'd be rocking.
Carson Beck?
Not a Beck one either. And Beck's a guy, man. That guy. Last time I saw him, I had some long tickets on Miami, and he threw an ill-advised interception to end it. But I can't wait to have it back. Should be fun.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it as well. I think everyone out there, you should be excited. Make sure, as always, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, the NFL Guide, Fantasy Live Fantasy Guide. It gives you everything you need to get up to date on all things Gridiron. But also, get your morning bets in early. VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jens Lewis kicks things off at 7 a.m. Eastern. Mike Palm will join with his Pressing 3. Then at 10 a.m., a numbers game with Kelly Bidlin and Dustin Swedelson, followed by Prop Points with Nick Whalen at 1 p.m. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. For Will Hill, for Corey York, our entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Benfei saying good luck with the bets. We'll see you tomorrow.